Welcome back to Champs Chats. I feel like we're just going to be live constantly during these World Championships. Champs Chats presented by Tracksmith. A lot of us are decked out in Tracksmith. Jasmine's got the hat. Kyle's got the sweater.
And the hat.
And the hat.
And the sweats.
Oh, look at that.
Got the sweats.
Wow.
So... Champs, I'm thrilled that we're partnering with Tracksmith for our coverage of the World Championships. Kyle and I did this daily podcast last year during the Olympic trials.
You may have heard about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I might have heard a little something about Tracksmith. You know, I kind of work with them from time to time, so yeah. Shout out to Tracksmith.
So they're just great about athlete storytelling, and so they're behind our full coverage for the World Championships, whether that is this podcast, our show that we're doing on the YouTube channel, David Melly's newsletter that's going out every single morning. So in addition to that, they've got their own newspaper that if you're here in Eugene, you can go pick up a copy on our front stoop.
Oh, and man, we have so many copies on our front stoop.
I think they're going to start to go as more people kind of get into town. And so
they weren't there for the morning run this morning, but they will be for tomorrow.
A lot more people at the morning run this morning than I expected. So... we're just going to keep bringing you guys all of the content, whether it's, you know, this show, the other show, all that stuff. So real quick, got to pay the bills. Tracksmith is an independent running brand fueled by a deep love of the sport. They celebrate the amateur spirit and seek to inspire the personal pursuit of excellence. Their summer collection is built for training in hot conditions. I've been a big fan of the silky smooth Twilight tee and the shorts for quite some time now, and they just added some nice fun summer colors. So listen up, Sidious Mag podcast listeners, and those of you watching right now on YouTube, there's a special offer only during the World Championships. 20% off when you use code WORLDS, WORLDS, at checkout. 20% off. That's if you are a first-time customer for Tracksmith, or if you're a long-time customer like us. So check them out today, tracksmith.com. And also, here's a little cheat code that's out there, too. If you are a first-time customer who spends $150 or more, you get a free Van Cortlandt singlet in navy blue if you go to tracksmith.com.
I didn't know about this.
VC promo to add a singlet. And when your total hits over 150 bucks, then it goes back down to zero. So it's a really cool thing. And then in addition to that, shop around and use code WORLD.
So if you didn't know, if you go and look on their website, they've got these really nice gold chains. So if you want to be decked out and spend over 150 bucks,
there we go.
Is that what you ended up getting with the gift card?
Yeah.
No.
All right. Also, wait, can I just like toss in, like if you're running and you're still competing and you need a uniform, they got these awesome yellow uniforms. You can check them out on my Instagram because I wore them. They're new. They're fantastic.
Not everyone's going to look as good as you, Jasmine.
That's very true. Buy it and wear it. They're fantastic. Super cute.
One last thing.
So in addition to Tracksmith plug.
Yeah. In addition to our content, they're also backing Malcolm Gladwell's new hit podcast, Legacy of Speed, which tells the story of the 1968, San Jose State, I wanted to get it right, track team that not only, you know, excelled on the track, but also led to that amazing protest at the 1968 Olympics with John Carlos and Tommy Smith. So you get the whole story behind that over the span of 5 or 6 episodes. They're actually doing a live recording here in Eugene. So check that out. That's Legacy of Speed. You're listening to this podcast. You know, you're in the podcast player. So cue that up for after this. Get all of the track and field content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. So
can we get into it?
Thanks, Tracksman, for all your support.
all right. Bills.
Let's get right into it. Day one of the World Championships. How are we feeling that like this long-awaited Super Bowl of track and field is finally here?
It felt like we were in a circus today. And I know that track is always kind of like a circus, but something about all the extra people and, you know, when World Athletics shows up to put on a meet of this caliber, there is so much extra tape everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the stadium looked like Alcatraz.
But like on a beautiful day, and you're visiting, like it's not a jail anymore.
In a way, it's just sort of like there's so much that's under control, and sort of like when it's just run by USATF or Tracktown, like it's a little bit more free and liberating. But it's like you got to remember, like the world is coming to this event, and so it's like that's 200,000 people flooding into Eugene that you kind of do have to have like some people keeping everything in order, and so that's kind of a little bit of the reason why things feel a little bit more, you know, tight.
But it was cool because it's so well organized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like they can just move into any stadium and do this.
Yeah. So well organized. And the fans, like today, I wasn't expecting that many fans to be there for day one since there wasn't any, like, it wasn't a series of finals. There was only, what, one? One final, yeah, the 4x4?
On the track, yeah.
On the track, because then we have the race walk that was off the track. So shout out to the race walks. Sorry, I was just talking about in the track.
Yeah.
But in the track, there was only one final today, but to see that many people come in.
I think it's only
going to
build. Yeah. It's a Friday.
Yes.
But also, it wasn't just any like final. It was Allison Felix's last lap. So that also probably played a big part in why the home stretch was so packed today.
So the first morning of this first session, so it was like a little bit more preliminary, early rounds, field events. Caitlin, you were at the stadium before all of us, so kind of give us a little bit of, you know, what the, like, I mean, literally, the temperature take of what it was like at Hayward, you know, when you walked into the stadium, you saw U.S. championships, but this time around, it was like there's people repping all different countries. It felt different.
Yeah, it definitely felt so much different, but it was so much cooler, too. It was like you're walking into, it's the same arena, the same town, but it felt like you were walking into a completely different atmosphere, and I feel like it's something that everybody deserves a chance to experience. Like, you're literally walking around, and you hear a bunch of different accents, you see a bunch of different shirts, a bunch of different jerseys, coaches literally from everywhere, or like you're talking to college coaches and they're like, yeah, I got one kid from this country, another kid from this country, and you're literally like, wow, you start to really realize that this is World Championships and like stuff's about to get hot this week.
It is. So that's a concept I never really thought about. It's like, as a college coach, yeah, you do have kind of, you're invested in all these different countries. That's kind of actually pretty cool.
Yeah, well, it's cool seeing like the people that you've watching the NCAA now all of a sudden having new uniform on that's like not a U.S. jersey. Like, cool.
Sometimes I forget that these college kids run for other countries, and so it's so strange to be like, oh, wait, you run for like Team Nigeria or Canada. Yeah. You're not an American.
It's like, I wish
and
you were on
cool.
our team.
Like, yeah. Why are you
come
not
join
over
USA.
Here?
All right. So to kind of get into the first session, we'll eventually lead into Allison's last lap, but there was we walked into the stadium and there was already the 3,000 meter steeplechases on the track.
Yeah, I mean, we started out hot.
Yeah.
And you know, first heat we see El Bakkali, who
the
is
Olympic
arguably
champ.
the not even arguably, he's the favorite. You know, he didn't run under 8 minutes three times this season like Gurma did, but you know, he's the defending Olympic champ. And you know, that for me walking in was like, oh, we're at Worlds. Like,
you were here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, like, and, you know, looking good. Unfortunately, our man Bernard Keter didn't make it out of the first heat. But, you know, the U.S. bias on this podcast will be very evident because we were pumped to see Hillary Bohr come out and look fantastic. Like,
redemption for last year. Didn't make it to the final in Tokyo. So this time around, he was all smiles. He said, honestly, the mission for this was to make it to the final. And so now, like, the pressure's kind of off because that's what he wanted to accomplish. He's into the final now. And so it's sort of, you know, I think he could surprise some people.
Yeah, you know, he had won a Diamond League last year previous to Tokyo and then wasn't able to make the final. And I know that was extremely disappointing, as you would think, because he's not here just to, like, make the final. Like, he wants a medal.
Yeah.
And when he is coming in, jogging, looking around with the likes of Lemecha Gurma and Kinsella Kiprutu, you're like, okay, that's who you need to beat to get a medal. Like, those are the guys. And so I asked him, I was like, do you feel the pulse of, like, you know, you're looking around, can you kind of feel what those guys are feeling like at that time? And it's like, yeah, you know, the difference between the guys who are going to medal and the guys who are just sneaking into the final and that prelim, different worlds. Mm-hmm. And I think he has now reached that fitness level in which he is like the prelim. On a day like today, it's like, that's a little bit of a formality. He's fit enough to make it that way. And we asked him, like, what happened? Like, you know, previous, why didn't you meet? And he just said he and his brother were overtraining.
Yeah.
And they've cooled it off a little. And now on race day, they feel good.
Yeah.
A lesson for all the young athletes.
What a way
there.
To figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's quality, not quantity, guys.
Sometimes less is more.
Yeah. So then a person who's very familiar to working his way through the rounds, and again, kind of talking about the home team here, Evan Jaeger looking great. I think in terms of just
like physically, like his hair and
the hair, the haircut and all that stuff.
Super old.
Has he been in the gym?
I don't think he's ever left the gym. A different type of gym than maybe Michael Norman was in. He's in some sort of gym.
So he ends up finishing second behind Ethiopian's Amare in the third and final heat. And so he ends up running 8:18, which is not that far off of what he just ran at USA's. And so I asked him sort of like, what did you do between USA's and now to kind of get ready for this? And he said, honestly, only one workout. And it actually wasn't as intense or heavy as it has been in the past leading into a championship. And so he's been at a level like this before. It was very cool to hear him kind of, you know, explain how he sees the final going from here. Because, yes, maybe Evan 2017 was in 8-flat shape. And this time around, it's sort of like, how can he get back to that point, 2015-16, that era of Evan? And it's not a guarantee that he's going to pull that off. So he thinks the final is going to be super fast, and it's going to be Girma and El Bakkali battling out in the front. He thinks that it's better for Girma to be the guy pushing it out from the front.
It generally is.
And so that benefits him. So John Galt from Let's Run asked him, so like, where does that leave you? And he says, honestly, I prefer that because if that's happening, then I can run fairly free and on my own. And you know, he could be the guy who picks off people along the way. He says he does have his eyes on Conseslus Kipruto from Kenya, the Olympic champion from 2016, who very similarly to Evan had his ups and downs, well, more off the track for sure for Kipruto. But now they're both sort of at this very similar crossroads of like, oh, like we have a chance. We're back at this level. And so it's kind of good to see not an old guard, because these guys were in contention 3-4 years ago. But they're also mixing it up with the best guys right now. And so I'm particularly excited for how the steeplechase final is going to pan out.
I think coming into USA's, he probably had some level of doubt about his fitness. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he had some good workouts or whatnot. And then you come there and you just have that emotional experience, and it flips the switch in which you feel like yourself for a moment. And for the first time in, you know, 5 years, you have that excitement about running and racing again. And I just saw him hurdling today, looking smooth and confident,
being up in the front, yeah,
taking the pace. And so it seems like what happened at USA's was, you know, physically he was probably there before, but now mentally he's where he needs to be.
Yeah. So a locked in Evan. I don't know. Like, there's really no need to be like, Evan is going to medal or anything like that. Because, like,
no,
at this
knows,
point, everything has been special to kind of see unfolded. This is a good season. And if anything, like, it's a stepping stone to get back, you know, possibly to next year. And so another quick thing for the people wondering, it's sort of like, oh, I mean, did Evan talk about Coach Jerry Schumacher taking the job at the University of Oregon, and now the Bowerman Track Club is, you know, there's talks that they're going to be moving to Eugene later this year. He said he's going to talk about it after the final. So there were questions raised, and he said he's going to address it all after the final. And that's, you know, just him kind of, yeah, he's focused on the championship.
Well, something that I do just want to give appreciation to, and this is, it's not like a slight at any athlete who's any other way, because like talking to athletes after prelim is interesting. Like, the job's not done yet,
yeah,
and you're going to go cool down. But Evan gives the press all the time that he has,
yeah,
after a race, and it's just I really, he's an open book. He's happy to talk. He's super candid and honest about everything. And so for a guy like him who's willing to like hang out in the press section for like a half hour after races, answering every last question that anyone might have, I respect it.
Yeah.
You got to respect the distance. He's focusing.
We'll talk a little bit more about Fernandez Omanyala later, but he was another one of those guys today who like literally told everyone his life story of how he got to the United States because of the visa issues. But all right, so aside from that, we had some qualifying rounds. Women's shot put. Chase Ely looked fantastic. One throw and she was done. Very similarly on the men's side. Nice. Joe Kovacs, one throw and he was done. Was Krauser? I would think
the very
he was also
first one. Very first
one and done.
Past, like in the stands, and I'm like, wait, did he only just like throw one throw and walk off?
Throws one, I look over and his sweats are already on, shoes were off.
Yeah,
he was going to do whatever.
Yeah. So. I mean, that's, and it's just all business. And those are the people who are, you know, favorites for a medal. And so it's just really funny that they have to go through it. And, you know, we had Maurice Green on our show earlier, and he's like, I had to run four rounds. And like, that's, you know, exerting a little bit of energy. And for some of these people, it's like, sort of like, if they've medaled before, just give them a bye to the final at the next world championships. But Chase Ely looked good.
Yeah. Well, you know, before we dive into this even further, I do want to explain the qualifying for those at home. So in the field events at Worlds, it's not just a matter of taking the top 12, which is, you know, one way of getting into the final. There's also a qualifying mark. And so, for like example, in the women's steeple, it's 18.9. And if you throw over 18.9, then you're in the final. And so Chase was saying, basically, she did a couple of warm-up throws, finished just underneath the 18.9. I think she said she threw one over, and then was basically able to, like, you see what you have to throw and just target it. And she's someone who's thrown, you know, a couple meters beyond that pretty regularly. Yeah. So for 18.9, you're not throwing 100%. So she just is like, oh, I need to throw it right there. And just throws an 18.96 and it's just like, all right, I'm going to cool down.
Did exactly what needed to be done. And I think that's always, it's remarkable and fun for athletes to do that. And also want to give a shout out to Jessica Woodard, because she made it onto the next. Survive and Advance is the name of this game. And kind of leading into the men, I think we had three of the
Maggie,
four men
also made
making it in.
And Emily, so, just outside, unfortunately.
Just absolutely amazing. I'm like, U.S. is out here really throwing. I love it.
Another qualifying round that took place, men's long jump, Marquise Dendy. Marquise back?
Marquise Dendy is indeed back. I don't think he ever really left. He just needed
to get...
He
left a couple times. Just injuries.
He came back.
He had like three major surgeries.
That's what I mean, though. He never truly left, because every time he's came back from that injury, he's right back on the ball game, and that does not happen for everybody. Mm-hmm. So, again, another remarkable athlete that shows he's always going to count on himself and bet on himself.
Well, so I had a chance to speak to Marquise after, and...
Because the two of you share something. You guys were both members of
what team? We were making like the NACAC team a decade ago.
and Caitlin's so, like, Kyle competed at NACAC?
I took my mask down. I was like, remember
you
me?
You guys are going to make it. You're going to stop making me seem like I'm ageist and like I'm telling you guys that you're like 60-something years old. Okay.
She is very ageist.
I'm
guys.
Not.
But so I spoke to him after about a few different things. One, you know, he jumped 8.16, which is a really solid jump for him. And on his second jump, he jumped far enough that he was going to make it in. But he was saying, like, I was feeling it today and I was feeling good. And he, you know, at USA's, he didn't jump as well as he wanted to. I think he said he finished 10th at USA's.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And now today he comes in and he's jumping well and he's feeling good. So he decided to take that third jump beyond what he needed in terms of qualifying, because when, you know, you've got an opportunity to gain some confidence, and it, you know, he extended quite a bit on that third jump in the series. But I, you know, I asked him, I was like, you've been the hell and back. And he's like, and I don't think everyone realizes what he's gone through. The one thing I then said was like, what's the difference between you now? Like, what's your advantage now at 29 that maybe you didn't have when you were, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old? And he said, he sleeps now.
Yeah. He said he used to sleep like maybe 6 hours. And he's like, now I'm getting like
strict 10.
I had the opportunity to talk to him about it in Tucson, because somehow mystically we started talking about how we are getting older in the sport. And we kind of came to that conclusion, like we talked about earlier, sometimes less is more. And so he started to figure out, like, you know, I need to change this within my training. And I kind of got to back off and make sure that all of these practices are actually counting. But can we also talk about Stefan?
Yeah, go on. Yeah. Another qualifier for the final.
This is another qualifier for the final. He is a Texas alum. Okay. Shout out to Coach Flo. And
Flo knows.
Stefan McCarter, just so.
Stefan McCarter. This man opened up at USA's, made it onto the team, actually making it, coming in the top three. And this is his second competition.
Wow.
Wow.
Second comp.
It's a rust buster at Worlds.
Like, rust buster.
How scary is that?
So for someone like him, how different will he be in the final than he was today?
You know, because it is that rust buster, as they were walking up, I kind of told him, like, hey, you're giving me a heart attack out here. Like, cut it out. And he's like, I know it wasn't the best. It's not consistent. I think going into these next few rounds, it's just going to be really dialing in on getting consistent and just focusing in. If he keeps doing what he's doing, he'll be perfectly fine.
And he's shown that he's perfectly capable. Like, I don't know too many people that can open up their first meet at a world qualifying championship and
very
make it top three.
Few.
Now, Caitlin, can you describe for us, you know, you got the chance to sit near the Team USA section. Mm-hmm. What is it like when someone like Marquise pops off a really good jump? Is this something that from your seats, like you're able to see up close? Is the clap going? How are the vibes?
So I would definitely say the vibes could be better, but I think as
that's honest.
I think as the days go forward, we'll definitely see more of that as the finals come through. But mm-hmm. there was definitely people participating in the clapping, which was fun to see. I was definitely participating in the clapping and the dancing. Apparently,
was it your dance cam or something? Like on the
no, there was no dance cam. No but dance me cam. And Jasmine were having a blast while everyone was staring at us like we had three heads on our shoulders.
Oh, you guys thought there was a dance cam?
No, we just wanted to dance.
On and we can't. Can't not dance when you play
all right.
music.
Whoever was on Ox today, keep doing it.
You're doing great, hon. Yeah.
But overall, the vibes in the section, like I said, could definitely be better, but it's there. I got faith.
You got faith? Okay. Yeah. All right, we're going to get a vibes check from Caitlin every single day
vibes.
Of Worlds.
So just overall, the leader in the long jump today was Yuki Hashioka. He was sixth at the Olympics last year. But, you know, no one showed their cards. It seemed like everyone just did what they had to do. Can we deduct anything from this?
That's the tricky thing about long jump. I think most of the times, once you hit that qualifier, I think Marquise was probably one of the few that decided to keep going because he was feeling well, which he took advantage of that. But most of the time, you just want to get out there and hit that auto qualifier and relax, rest, and say, you know what, I advanced to the next round. So I think a lot of it's veteran moves of, hey, let's just try to get these marks in and get out of here.
The Olympic champ, Matildas, just right in the middle, did nothing special, didn't let us know anything.
Don't have to do too much. Getting into the finals isn't too crazy with the jumps.
It's sort of like, you know, we love 10 days of this much. You know,
I would
high quality
five or six.
Action, but yeah, no, it's sort of like to the point. Like,
there's some of this that
you could condense it to 5 or 6 days. But like, when it's 10 days and you stretch these things out, like, there's going to be those days where it's sort of like, oh, like, we really didn't learn all that much from like some of the top people. Yeah. But that only leads to like bigger surprises and like more of a show when the big times start to.
Well, yeah, you know, some of it is a little bit of a formality. With this many rounds, this many people, like, you have to narrow down. And the 1500 was a great example of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm a 1500 runner, or I was a 1500 runner.
Do you know that, Caitlin?
Back in the day, Caitlin, I ran. And the 1500 prelims were kind of boring. And that's good for Team USA. Like, we got all three
women.
Through, no problem. All three women, yep. So Corey, Ellie, and Sinclair all looked great, got through.
All the favorites still in it.
All the favorites.
No shocks.
And it's, I think I was talking to Corey about it after. It's like, that first round, you know, if you run solid, you'll make it through. But that second round turns up real quick.
Yeah. But although, like, that is not to discount, like, how fast some of these heats were. Like, second heat was won in 4:04 by Faith Kipyegon. The third one was Gudaf Sagai.
What is that? 14 seconds off her personal best.
Yeah, but I think, like, it like you look at the some of the women behind her, like, that's some of them, it's sniffing, you know, a second or two off of their PRs.
Yeah, I think the last athletes in, you know, obviously have to run really well, but for those athletes up front today, they just, it's, you know, you can jog and close hard and find your time. So it's similar to the long jump. We don't have that much takeaway except for the fact that everyone's healthy. We got three Americans in. Something that, and Chris, I know you spoke to her, that was really cool to see was Adele Tracy.
Yeah, Adele Tracy, who a lot of people may have remembered, you know, as an 800-meter runner competing for Great Britain, but actually, like, you know, grew up and spent quite a bit of time in Jamaica. And so she started this process about a year ago. And then just last month, right before, I think it was like the British Championships, the Jamaican National Championships, like, her, you know, transfer of allegiance went through, and so now she's competing for Jamaica. And you know, she it was very fun for her to say, like, you know, I want to show people that Jamaicans can't just run fast, they can also run far. Mm-hmm. And that's a something that Aisha Pratt-Lear has been pushing forward a lot since 2015, when she made her own allegiance switch from the United States to Jamaica. And so she said that, you know, about a year ago, Aisha Pratt and Lear and her have like discussed this before. And so they're, you know, it's, I can't think of two more positive, you know, really awesome. And Aisha Pratt does a lot of stuff with the World Athletics, like Athletes Commission, to really be faces for potentially more, you know, Jamaican distance runners down the road. And we kind of have started to see a little bit
of it. Don't create a monster, guys.
The 800, like, relax.
Yeah, like, we have enough trouble with you guys in the 100 and 200.
Relax.
but Kyle, like, you do think it would be so much fun to have, like, Jamaican fans chirping at you for 1,500 meter takes in your mentions?
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think it would be kind of fun. Guys,
Kyle's face is not happy right now.
Over to Team Jamaica.
Start developing the Jamaican 1500 meter runners so that, like, Kyle's Twitter.
Kyle can coach them, actually.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, that's how we get the dual meet, the U.S. Jamaica full team dual meet going.
That would be awesome.
I think we should make that happen.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie.
In New York.
Yeah. In New York. Or in Philly, Franklin
Field. That's kind of mutual territory. Like, just go out to New York.
Yeah.
So, yeah, other than that, I guess, like, 1500, no. Big, big shockers. Laura Galvin didn't make it through, unfortunately, for Mexico. And also the NCAA champion, Centavisa, didn't make it through for Italy. So those are
it's
two people that...
a long year.
Yeah.
For an NCAA athlete to still be competing.
So that was the 1500. And then what else we got in that later session?
We have the men's 100. 100.
Oh, how could we not talk
about Frederick? How can we not talk about the men's 100?
Okay.
We starting with Frederick?
No, yes. No. We got
to
build up.
We gotta build let's up build Frederick. Up
Let's start with Marvin.
Fred.
Marvin, very openly in the, you know, takes the win. He said it was the easiest
10-0.
Yeah, easiest 10-0 he's ever run in his career. So he's not afraid to think. Next?
You know, I think Maurice said it best earlier that USA Champs is really, really difficult. And so when the Americans get to come to a world championship or Olympics, typically, it's way easier. Mm-hmm. That pressure is kind of taken down a notch. And so getting through those rounds is a lot easier for them.
Yeah, because who's better, the eighth athlete at a U.S. championship or the eighth athlete in a world championship?
Ooh.
U.S. champs, for sure.
In the 100?
In the 100.
Yeah.
No, definitely. I mean, when you look at the statistics, even if you look at women as well, it's kind of, you look at our finals, and that right there could be an Olympic final. Most of them are all running under 10 seconds, under 11 seconds
for the
women.
Don't get me started on that 100 hurdles.
So, yeah.
No. Oh, God.
It's insane, and it's remarkable, and I think it says the strength and depth of Team USA.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Marvin.
Marvin, I don't know if you guys saw this. He chirped a little, just a little chirp at me on Twitter, because I had written the best redemption arcs of the U.S. champs. And
you left him off
I
the list.
Swear to you that I had written a whole thing out on him.
Yeah.
And then I hit the email length. So I had to cut some stuff out because I wrote too much. And I was looking, I was like, all right, like,
somebody's got to go.
You know, and I was like, someone's got to go. And he, you know, he had like a very tough Olympic trials. You know, he got injured.
Yep.
But then he had bounced back afterwards and ran like 9.8 a couple weeks later. So in my head, I was like, that was the end of his redemption arc.
Yeah.
He just had one bad meet. It wasn't like he had bad years or seasons or anything. But he did. He sent me an emoji of like, you forgot someone. And I had written a whole thing out.
And then you apologize. And then Vernon Norwood.
Very cowardly. I apologize.
But here's the other thing too, is sort of Vernon Norwood is the reply guy number one to any of Marvin Bracey's tweets. Like, if you guys aren't this deep into track and field Twitter, like, you just need to follow Marvin Bracey and Vernon Norwood.
Yes.
And then you'll just see a bunch of really funny interactions where Kyle apologizes to Marvin, and then Vernon just goes like, Kyle, there's no need to apologize. He got lucky. it's just like, no matter what happens, Vernon keeps Marvin on his toes, and it's just fantastic to see. So
but we did ask him, we were like, because if you watched Fred, we're like,
and he said, "A Fred does this shit all the time."
So Fred Curley,
so he just brushes it off.
Yeah, like he just smirks and has a good time with it. Fred 979. Just once again, you don't have to do that.
That was so unnecessary, but he's slowed down.
Okay, but
he
this is
bored.
So easy.
Bored.
But this is what Maurice was talking about earlier today, like consistency. He's like, people showing up to championships and doing stuff like this. And Fred has literally been consistently running 9.7 mm-hmm. and just opening it up on people. And so a lot of people believe that he could probably go 9.6 in the final. And like, completely obliterate the American record.
He never came
point.
Out of his dry phase. He's still in his dry phase.
He's still going right now in front of the city's house.
He was
house.
Like, you know what? Maybe I should pop up just a little bit.
Just to make sure lose the turn.
Yeah,
when
let
I
me
run.
Not start running into someone else's lane. Let me just pop up really quick. He didn't have to do that to him.
And then he doesn't stop for interviews in the mix zone. That's just very signature Fred. Although, like, Gordon Mack from Flow Track did yell out to him. He was like, what's the plan for the final? What's the plan for the final or next round, whatever it was? He says, same thing I said last time. And so everyone's like, what did you tell you last time?
The tape.
He was like, world record. And so I guess, like, the plan is still, we're in phase world record for Fred Curley
yes.
right now.
World record number one of three.
Well, when he runs 9.5, we'll be like, 9.79 is kind of chilling.
You made it look easy twice. Crazy. Like, he does this and he makes it look so easy. It's the first round, and I can guarantee you these guys are not trying to go all out. They're trying to save that. It's just, let me just try
like,
out.
How much of it is mental games? Like, in terms of, like, I mean, Maurice did say, like, a lot of running is mental. And sort of, like, you see Fred run that fast, and you're like, do I have that in me? Like, can I go any, like, not, like, for some of these guys, like, that's, for Marcel Jacobs, that's a PR that he has to run in order to beat Fred right now in his first round form. And so you see, Trayvon Bermell run, what was it, 989, I think it was?
In 989. His race.
Yep.
With the peace sign.
Yeah, peace sign, slow chilling.
Down
literally
peace
jogging,
sign.
Smiling, having
so
a great
Trayvon
time.
So Trayvon is in a really cool, in a very similar way, in a relaxed mindset going into this next round that it is sort of going to be sort of this thing where maybe, Caitlin, we're going to have to do a video or something like that where you hit the streets and ask people, it's like, who you got in the final? Is it Fred? Is it Trayvon or someone else? Mm-hmm. And like, because, we're talking now, our opinions may change. You know, tomorrow and the day after. It's just sort of like, as who is it going to be? And Fred is making a statement. Trayvon is just very unfazed by it. Marvin doesn't care. Marcel Jacobs tried to do like as little as he could to advance, but also like, we got to remember, this is his first race in a while.
Didn't look as good
as normally.
And this is something, and we're going to keep plugging this because the conversation we had earlier today with Maurice was one of the coolest conversations I've had in a while. And, you know, he kind of said, unless he has really good training partners, it is hard to open up and, like, come out here when you've been on the bench for a little while.
Yes. Yeah.
So, men's 100, like, it's really the fireworks are going to be coming out for that one, I think. And, like, you know, there's this talk, even among the USA guys, about a potential sweep. Marvin, I think, like, pointed out. And, like, this is, like, we've gotten this far. We haven't even mentioned Christian Coleman. That, like,
right.
Christian Coleman...
That's how deep we are, guys.
...is still... It. Yeah, he won his heat. Also, you know, kind of flexed at the end as well, where it's... He's chilling, too. So, Team USA looking really, really good. And this is the American bias coming out, but also we're just speaking facts. I think.
Yeah.
Here's the one guy that I think could be the disruption to the whole thing that we're not talking about.
Wait, let's see. Who do you think it is? I just looked at the screen, so I can see.
You know who it is? Hold on. Let me go back
and
look at these.
Who do you think could break up the Team USA possible sweep?
Letzley.
Yep.
Wow, yeah.
Letzley
Tabogo, the 19-year-old from Botswana, ran 9.94 today.
Yep.
I believe it's a U20 world record.
Yes, it was.
And, you know, he had run 9.96 in Botswana earlier this year. It was a barely legal win, +1.9, but, like, I want to see you race people when you run, like, you know, running fast one time is one thing, but, like, you got to beat people.
Consistency.
And today you know,
showed up and showed up.
He showed up.
We do have people obviously watching this live on YouTube and chiming in the comment section and the Jamaican contingent. I love our Jamaican viewers. So Jamaican viewers, smash the subscribe button because we love you guys.
Yeah.
But hey guys. Oblique Seville is another person that I think that is being thrown out there, and like he had a little like a good scrum of people like you know waiting to talk to him as well. So
yeah, 993.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, he's another young guy, you know. I mean, he's the hope right now for Jamaica.
Yeah.
Season's best of 986, you know. He can get it. He might be, you know, I guess we were on the same page.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised that you didn't say Oblique.
Wait, so I kind of want to just get this clip here done. Are we all out on Marcel Jacobs possibly winning?
Yes.
Are we all out on Marcel Jacobs meddling?
Yes. I don't think DeGrasse or Jacobs medal.
I don't Me think either. Neither one of them medal.
I agree with you guys, too.
It's All either right. going to be a U.S. sweep or let's say he's going to come in and break it up or the Jamaican's going to come in and break it up.
I call U.S.
So
sweep.
At least two U.S. medals is what you're thinking.
I call
yes,
three.
At least two.
Jasmine's calling three.
They race each other all the time. They literally race each other all the
time.
To
talk between the semis and the finals. Yeah. It's like 2 hours, so that'd be an emergency podcast.
Everyone back to the house.
Come on, let's go.
How many medals do you say?
I think we definitely go 1-2. And the question is, do we go 1-2-4 or 1-2-3?
I think I'll join Jasmine on this one. I'm going to go with the sweep.
But I'm not convinced it's definitely Fred. I just want to say that.
I'm not totally convinced it's Fred either.
Am I partially biased? Because we once did after the final lap with Trayvon. And
for
I
two and a half hours.
Do you think that there's any possibility of us getting top four?
Oh, 1-2-3-4.
Ooh.
Like, is there a slither?
Yeah,
in
you
your
know,
heart
there's,
that
I think there's, there is
there
a
is.
Chance. It's higher than you think. It's not on the bottom level.
Yeah,
I
that's
think.
Not that's not a far fetched. Thing to happen with Team USA. It's not far-fetched.
No.
Has that ever happened with any team
Well,
before?
So here's the thing. Like, if they do go 1-2-3-4, then there's no excuse for
the relay.
For the relay.
No, okay, but there is an
relay.
Excuse.
We just
there
don't is. Run it. We go,
we do, like, we do what we needed to do.
Fine.
We proved ourselves.
Yeah, we proved ourselves.
But we all know relays are not just speed. What is that stick going to do when it gets around the track? But completely different. Conversation.
Should you want to tell everyone about the Ferdinand story? We didn't even really fully dive in.
Okay, so Ferdinand Omanyala, the African champion, Kenyan national record holder, he's actually one of two guys this year who has beat Fred Kerley because he did it at the Kipkeno Classic out in Nairobi, Kenya. So he's a strong contender. He's up. He's tied for I think the second or third fastest time in the world this year. 2 days ago, we just started to see all these tweets pouring out about how he's still in Kenya and he's having trouble coming to America because, you know, he's not the only one. There have been a slew of athletes who have had
a lot of visa issues.
Which hopefully, like, you know, maybe if we do get the chance to host another major event like this down the road, that it's something that could be, you know, a bit better. But, okay, so then Omanyala is in Kenya yesterday, which is kind of crazy to think about. You see a tweet of him finally this morning saying that he's got his visa approved or late last night, and he's going to get to the United States about 2.5 to 3 hours before his race. And we talked, you know, again, you guys have to go back and watch this Maurice Greene interview that we did earlier because he does say, like, coming off the plane, I wouldn't bet on him, or I would bet, and most likely I would bet against him. So Omanyala, makes it through to the semifinal. I saw him in the mix zone and I said to him, "You made it." He goes, "Yeah, I made it." And he was all smiles. He was also talking to every single reporter
for so long.
Minutes.
There's no one sleepier in the building than him.
It's an important story to tell.
And so, okay, you sat through and listened to him.
Yeah,
he
came
interview.
Straight from the airport. He hadn't checked into his room.
Straight from the airport to the track.
Right now?
I hope he's
Absolutely
asleep.
He's asleep. He is knocked out right now.
Do you think he ate?
No. You don't think so?
How brutal would it be if they're like, you've been randomly selected for direct?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
So like, what else did he say?
I mean, honestly, he was downplaying it so much. It didn't seem like it was that big of a deal. I asked him, I was like, you've beaten Fred Kerley before. They raced earlier this year in Nairobi. It's like, can you beat him? And he said, yeah, I think I'm going to try. So it's not like he's even changing the goals or the plans or anything. And, you know, I think he's a young dude. He's only been, it's funny, like he's now a medal contender, right? Like when you run as fast as he has, then you're now a medal contender. 2 years ago, if you go back and you look at his personal best, I mean, he's a former rugby player turned runner, and he just said, like, the pandemic
That's so opposite.
So he said the pandemic, he was able to get, like, amazing training, and he started focusing on it. I asked him, he said he really misses rugby. But he's all in on running. He's, like, a really young talent. And, you know, maybe kids just don't need to sleep.
Can I just say that sometimes when traveling, I have the best practices. I've had the best practices as soon as I'm off the plane.
Really? Okay.
But
Michael Johnson's tweet, did you see that? He said it's day two.
Day two. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's day two. It's always those days after. So we'll see how he's looking.
So the video interview with Fernandad Omanyala is up on our YouTube channel.
We got all these interviews pumping on our YouTube channel.
You
got
to make sure you're subscribed to this. Go and watch all of our videos once this podcast is done. Really quick, kind of, like you mentioned how he's downplaying it. Can you two take me sort of into the athlete mindset here a little bit of, like, you have all these reporters and people asking you, it's like, I can't believe you're here. And also it's like, isn't it so crazy that you just got off the plane? Like, do you have to kind of trick yourself a little bit to maybe think it was like, actually, this is not that crazy, not that crazy.
Yeah, he successfully did that. Yeah. It's just something that's out of your control at this point. Like, you are here. You're here to compete. You made it. Why harp on it? And that's almost the surprising thing. And it seemed like he had almost reached nirvana in the situation. Like, he was talking about it like it was like an outer body experience. Like, it wasn't even affecting him that much. But it's like, you're here now. Like, what? No, that's, you can choose for that to be your excuse. 100%. If you fail to do what you're here to do, or you can just kind of own it, say it happened, move on, and just work with what you got.
Absolutely. The best thing you can do is just focus on the things that you can control. And that was something he couldn't necessarily control. And so you just have to play that role with it. And hey, I got to take advantage of what I can control right now. That mentality that he has is what's going to work in his favor.
Chris, can you check the schedule? Is there a medal ceremony for the guy who's the sleepiest and just got off the plane most recently?
if there is, then
that's day 11.
That's day 11. And it's Fernandad Omanyala versus me. All right, let's move to the first medals, right?
Well, you know what? Let's just quickly, there's a few other things that just didn't hit. Javon Harrison jumped 2.28, made it through to the final in the high jump, as did Shelby McEwen, both 2.28. That's what it took today to make it through in the high jump. Yeah. And then in the men's hammer throw, I believe we got all three men through.
Nice.
Yes.
So, all right, now we can go on.
All right. Mixed 4x4, or as any promo commercial teaser you've seen for this one, was billed as Allyson Felix's final lap. Last time she's going to ever race on the track at a professional level. It's sort of like you have to add some of these qualifiers in there because it's like, oh, she could always just like hop into, I don't know, like a fun run race or something like that.
Yeah.
So the eyes are going to be on the second leg of Team USA. It goes off. Who let us off? It was
Elijah Godwin.
Elijah Godwin. I guess, Caitlin, can you replay the race, or one of you two just sort of for us? Because I'm trying to remember.
So it was Elijah Godwin from Georgia first, and then it was handed off to the one and only Allyson Felix.
Was it in the lead? He handed off in the lead?
He did hand it off in the lead. His split was a 44.71.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then when Allyson got the baton around the track, her split was a 50.15. Mm-hmm. And then from Allyson, we handed off to Vernon Norwood, who split a 44.7, I think.
44.40.
44.40. And then we handed off to the fresh Kennedy Simon of Texas, who split her second 50 of the day with a 50.9.
Yeah. And, okay, so we just recapped. Team USA didn't win. Obviously, because of Allyson, this race is going to make a lot of headlines, but you got to give major props to the Dominican Republic, and especially Marlady Paulino being on the second leg. What was Marlady's split?
48.47.
Yeah.
Cooking.
getting scary for that open four.
That's the difference maker in this race.
You guys, can I just read off all of their splits? Yeah,
read off all of Dominican Republic.
Because all of them ran in the 40s. So first leg, Lidio Andreas Feliz ran 46:31.
Mm-hmm. How does, or Lady Paulina.
Thank you. 48:47. Mm-hmm. Alexander, I don't want to butcher last name, Agondo.
Okay.
45:12. How do you say this other name? I don't want to butcher guys' names. I'm sorry.
Fiordaliza Kofiel.
Thank you. 49:92.
Fiordaliza.
There we go. Thank Jen you, Fernando. You should have hopped in this. You should have said the names and I just read the numbers.
There you go.
But all of them running in the 40s, phenomenal race also.
They were definitely fighting that entire time, like watching that race too. But also major props to Kennedy Simon because I feel like there was a lot of pressure on her being a I think she was second leg earlier today and they moved her to anchor, which, you know, most people would assume that Allison was going to run. So it was literally all eyes on her. It's like Allison has just made this race for you and like you have to bring it home. And so I think the fact that she ran 250 points today after having a long collegiate season just really showed like the kind of fight that she was having because she was really trying to bring it to the line.
Her first ever global championship medal. Yeah. I mean, she was running in college all year. And so really special moment for her. But, you know, I've seen it already in some of the comment section here. Tweets, like, people are being very hard on Kennedy Simon.
They're being so hard on her. And it really, really sucks because it's like, I mean, me being an NCAA athlete myself, like, I've seen this girl run all season. And then since I'm friends with Serenity and her and Serenity are literally, like, best friends, it's like I'm hearing about her story, like, all the time. And I'm like, yes, I understand we wanted Allison Felix to go out with the gold medal, but like she's also got a gazillion of them and she still ran a 50 point today, which is something to celebrate and also something to celebrate with Kennedy. So I really hate the fact that you guys are getting on her because she's so young. She's fresh. It's her first time. So,
she's young and sorry, Kyle, but like guys, I
wasn't going to jump
Kyle,
on
shut
her.
Up.
I was not going to jump on her.
No. I just want you guys to like truly understand. Mm-hmm. She's had such a long season. She starts her training early. That also adds on. She's had an indoor season, an outdoor season. She goes to USA's. She makes it on to be on the 4x4 mixed relay. And then she comes and runs 2 400s in one day.
Mm-hmm. So I have some complicated feelings with this.
No, this is fair because like, I kind of the way I wanted to outline this is sort of like going forward. Like this is not a knock on Kennedy Simon, but like Team USA in general for sure. I mean, Kennedy Simon was seventh in the 400 at USA's. They've got plenty of toys basically for ammunition to really stack this relay. And
I think Bianca talked about this on Twitter. She was like, this is not to knock anybody who ran today because they all ran their asses off. But if you got to run the relay like you want to win it, and she personally believed that that was not like USA did not run a team to try to get gold. Like they ran a team to run a team.
So I have complicated feelings with the mixed 4x4 because and I'm vocal about it. I think it's a stupid event.
Agreed.
I don't think we needed it. I think the 4x8 and the DMR would have been a much more appropriate thing. If anything, DMR. We need less events in track and field, not more. But retweet. It is an event, and it's here, and people take it seriously, except the U.S.
Yes.
And I don't know why we're throwing away what should be a lock of a gold medal. Like, we have crazy depth in this event, and it's day one, and they're... Are and the athletes, and I think initially, like a lot of people, it's like, oh, like, you know, how did we not win this? But you look at the athletes, they actually ran great. Like, the team that we put really, out really to run 310 ran well. So this is not a knock on them because they all individually ran strong. But I do just think about our bench and how many athletes we have that maybe if we would have just input one of the stars. And, you know, look, like, I get it. As an individual, like your primary event, for example, like a thing like her primary event's the 800, like she's the Olympic 800 meter champion. But like if you put it her in this race, do we win gold? And it just feels like maybe and that's not that shouldn't be put on a thing, you know, but there is probably six athletes that we had on the sideline that if maybe we swap any one of them and I guess I'm a little surprised that none of the one athletes that could have been swapped was like, yeah, I'll take a gold medal.
Well, the other thing, too, here is, like, to go back to your point of, like, other countries taking this a little bit seriously. Marlady Polino has the 400 to focus.
Femke Bol, yeah.
Femke Bol was subbed in for the final.
Yes,
because you know she wanted another medal. She got a silver out of this, and she's got to come back and be in top form to contend against Sydney McLaughlin and Dalila Muhammad. Like this is this, now she's on, you know, to a degree tired legs.
My
yeah.
thing is like people, but see, I don't even. I feel like at this level. You can't use tiredness as an excuse because you train to literally do stuff like this. Yeah. And then also when you look at people like Britton Wilson from the NCAA, like literally pulling off what she did at SECs, it's like if she can run 50 points and have PRs and run 48s in literally less than 2 hours, I don't understand why you can't do all of these 400s with like days spread mm-hmm. apart.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. I think looking at the schedule, there's some time to recover, and honestly, let's keep it real. The mixed 4x4, it's not like they have to run something super spectacular on their splits. To them, that's probably more of a, hey, I got out here, I did it, let's keep it going. And even some of those 200 girls that run the 400 could have been placed on there.
You know, what I did notice sort of in the mix zone is like, while Team USA, like, you could kind of visibly see it a little bit, and Jasmine, you were with me, like, in the interview, like, watching some of the interviews that, like, they themselves are also very disappointed with bronze. So it's not just, you know, the fans who are out there and, you know, the people who are just like, man, it would have been nice for Allison to go off with a gold. It's sort of like, no, Kennedy Simon's upset that it's not gold either. And, you know, Elijah Godwin's also like disappointed that it's not gold. So like it does come down to, I watched Team Jamaica come through in the mix zone visibly. Upset.
Oh,
they did not
goodness.
Want to do any of like the interviews with the own Jamaican media because like they wanted a gold medal, and sort of like that's sort of the thinking that I think Team USA has to have, where it's sort of even they, I think, maybe could benefit from, you know, adding a star or two onto those relays.
I think the problem boils down to the fact that at the end of the championships, the U.S. will have the most medals and the mm-hmm. most gold medals no matter what. And so like we're not really fighting for that position like, oh, well, we've got to get this one.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, like, if we want to come out with, like, the most gold medals, and it's like, no, this isn't the make or break, and so I feel like we let it go a little bit. But also, there's prize money on the line.
Yes.
And also, like, why do something if you're not going to try to be the best at it? Like, whether you know you're – just why? Just go out there to be the best.
Yeah.
So
That's why, like, to your point, a DMR mixed it up because that's not a guaranteed U.S. gold medal. Like, that's a Kenya one, possibly, or, mm-hmm. you know, some of these other countries, Spain or anything like that. It could be, you know, really strong contenders.
We're far from a guaranteed gold medal in this, as we've learned. But,
look,
like, are there a couple combinations that maybe we could have got it today? Yeah, I like to think that. And, again, not a knock on any individuals because they actually all ran great. And you see the splits and you see the final time and – The people we put on the track ran well.
Is it required to run a mixed 4x4?
We qualified for it, and I think like now our medalist, I think like it guarantees the next year's or something like that. I think they're working on World Relays is going to be the qualifier for future Olympics. I think that's how that's going to work. But so this isn't going away anytime soon. So we got to get our act together, I think.
At least add the DMR if you're not going to get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, my thing is if for Team USA, not for – because other countries obviously are taking this mixed 4x4 serious, right? So I feel like if Team USA feels like it's a compromise from these individuals and prospering in their events and the 4x4, why are we entering in it?
Well, it's also sort of like – in last year with the the 4x4 at the Olympics, like there were probably some people who ran the open four who were a little disappointed that they weren't part of that relay.
Yeah.
Instead, they added someone like Dalila and a thing to the you know the relay in the final. That do you think it changes things if we move this the mixed 4x4 to also the last final day, like in the schedule, so that if those big stars, we can throw them into the 4x4, but also have some of these players that contested the 400.
I don't think other countries are going to have that depth to be able to.
That's the challenge.
That's just
there.
The U.S.
Yeah. So,
but like, yeah. So it's
we got to fix the mixed 4x4 if it's going
to
stick around.
There's probably a lot of conversations we don't have insight to that were happening behind the scenes, but overall, because we love track and field so much and because we're patriots, we're disappointed with the bronze, and that really speaks to the character of America.
Because we
really care. Because we really love track and field.
All right. So last thing, Allyson Felix did hundreds of interviews in the mix zone today. She finally did get around to us. Kind of did ask, sort of like, so this is it, right? Like, you're done? And she was like, yeah. And
come back on the 4x4.
So I said, you know, what is, because this is the big question. Like, you have a star like that, you don't want them to just immediately go away, like you never see them again, right? And so it's like, what are you going to do to kind of remain close to the sport? And so she's kind of already laid the foundation for some of the post, you know, professional track and field career. She wants to continue to be a major advocate for mother athletes, and that's not just in track and field, and continue to push for childcare. And so in some way, shape, or form, Allyson Felix is still going to have that footprint on the sport. And so, you know, it was really nice to hear that, like, you know, she's still going to be out there for, you know, probably rooting for Team USA and hopefully, you know, lifting up some of these other future stars.
Do we have room for her in the budget to come on as a Sidious Mag analyst?
No, because we spent all the money to get Caitlin awards.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Also, right, this
I'll
is
quit.
Gonna...
I quit.
For the sport.
Everything is great for the sport.
All for the sport.
This is going to kill me just because we didn't mention it, because I'd said that the men got all three in. Before we end, I want to mention that all three women got in the hammer as well.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Good.
So you know. We lost Deanna Price, who had COVID, mm-hmm.
yeah.
and she lost 12 pounds, right, like, in the last week or two with yeah. COVID, and so she was a scratch, the defending champ, but we still have three Team USA members in the final.
So, Kyle, really quick, pull up the schedule for tomorrow so we can let the listeners know, like, what finals we have tomorrow on tap. But first, tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Sidious Mag live from Worlds on YouTube. Our guests for tomorrow are slated to be Vin Lanana, one of the guys who was very instrumental in getting the World Championships here to the United States, and also Olympic silver medalist in the shot put, Raven Saunders. So then, you know, that's when that one's going to be a lot of fun. And then, you know, we might have some other guests pop up and surprise us, like today. Bryce Hopple didn't tell us he was going to come by to the house, you know, for until like maybe 30 minutes before we started the show. And so we're going to be very fluid in terms of just like, anyone's welcome to, you know, be a guest on the Sidious Mag
Don't say that.
Live that competed. Not just anybody.
I still wouldn't be.
We're in a person.
But you know, it's exciting. We
I have a medal.
I had a
world record.
Joe Kovacs was like, "I see what you guys are doing at Sidious Mag. You guys are throwing beanbags at like my face because he sees that we have a cornhole set back there." And he's like, "So I'll be there on Monday. I'll bring the medal, and also, you better let's do some stakes." And so, we're gonna have a big throws day on Monday, but. That's what we have a show to look forward to tomorrow. Vin Lanana, Raven Saunders, and a couple more guests. Hopefully.
Finals, men's hammer, women's 10,000, men's long jump, women's shot put, and the men's 100. Stadium's going to be packed.
Woo!
Ooh.
I'm
All right.
excited.
Before we close it out.
Oh, my.
Here he goes again.
Hayward Magic is a presenting sponsor of this show. So they're pushing the sport forward, sharing the stories of like the athletes that make this such a great sport. They've got some really cool content that's coming out of the Mix Zone as well throughout the next 10 days. So be sure to follow Hayward Magic on Instagram. Hayward Magic moment of the day. What was your favorite moment of the day? We'll go around. Oh. Kyle, do you want to start us off?
I have to start us off. Hayward Magic moment.
All right, I'll start.
You start us out.
I will start us off. My Hayward Magic moment of the day was seeing Fernandinho Manyala in the stadium, because it took a little bit of magic for him to get to the United States in the first place. And the fact that he pulled it off, and not only that, managed to get through the first round of the 100 after all of that extra stress that was added within the last 48 hours, my Hayward Magic moment of the day is Fernandinho Manyala.
I'm going to take Marlady Polino.
48, what was it? 48-4? Crazy. That is
something
magic.
Something fast. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, I got to go with Stephen McCarter, because this is your second track meet of the year, and here you are.
Wow.
I'll go with Femke Bol.
Okay.
I think she also split 48 today as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that I'll go with that.
Did you know we learned this in the mix zone? We were just kind of looking up random facts. Netherlands, tallest...
tallest,
because we saw how tall their whole team was. We're
oh my god, I got so happy, because I was like, well, now I don't feel weird as like the only tall, like meaty 400 person. So
okay.
All right.
There you have it. All right. Let us know your Hayward Magic moment of the day in the comment section. You can tweet at us at Sidious Mag. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We'll see you guys back live here again, 5:30 p.m. Sidious Mag live from Worlds. I love track and field.
It's okay. I guess I love
retweet.
It.
It sucks.
Retweet Chris.
That's blasphemy.
Not Kyle. Retweet Chris.
Allison would never say that.
Allison would never say that. Play the music back. Good night, everybody.